Hi, everybody. My name is Rana, and I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Rana.
Hi, Rana.
Here we are again. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming out on a rainy night. So I just want to start off by just saying, you know, this is the next three steps are really part of what was brought to my attention, that it was the continuation of the destruction of self, where I had begun in step four. And I want to talk about my experience with step seven, eight, and nine, and I'm going to share something with you that if you oblige me with the direct amends that I made with my son, and I'll share that later. So if that's okay, I would like to share that experience, because for me, it's hard to talk about this in sort of a didactic way, so far as maybe you've seen that already, that for me, it's really more of an experience, and so I don't necessarily take it exactly out of the words of the book, but my experience comes from going through this process in a more didactic way, and once, you know, I listed, as we talked about last week, I took the defects. I just want to take it out so at least it's in front of me so I don't have to scramble around for that. One sec. Here it is. Is it? Yep. So I also brought what I brought last week. For me, the step seven really is the beginning of starting to bring about a willingness that to have the defects of character that blocked me from God and brought me to my knees in a lot of ways without alcohol. But alcohol was the very thing for me, and drugs, that kept me caught up in not having to see any of that, which, you know, kept me in the dark in so many ways. And it just was perpetual motion. And so what I did was, what I was asked to do in the seventh, in the sixth step, as we talked about last week, was to take my column four from my resentment list, which is where I wrote the defects of character, and where it was, and I listed them in a manner of, for me, where the seventh step began, was where I put them in a manner of what I was willing to do, what I was willing to ask to have removed, and I was ready to have removed in column one. This is how we did it. Column two was what I think I'm ready to, but I'm not quite sure, because I really don't know the depth of what that really is like. I understand on a more, I understand it, but I don't really, I haven't begun to pray to see how it really affects the greater whole in my life, you know, now that I'm uber aware of what they look like, because before I did the fourth step, I wasn't even aware of them. I had no idea what they look like breaking them down. I just behaved according to what I thought, or my instincts running wild, as Joe and Charlie like to say, you know, which is true, you know, no balance. And so I just acted accordingly, and then, you know, things, I relationships suffered, and so many things suffered, you know. I was incapable of, you know, the bedevilments. I'll just go back to that. My life was just a series of the bedevilments, you know. I couldn't make a living. I was full of fear. I couldn't have relationships. I was not useful to anybody. But now I was ready to take a look at what those things, where they belong. And then there was another column there. And in that column, and here it is, I don't think I brought the second page, but yeah, here they are. So that column was based in what it is that I'm digging my heels into the ground. So like it says in step six, where it says, you know, this I will never give up. I really had to identify, if I was going to be honest and go into this prayerful time in the seventh step, to have them be removed and even consider that they could, right? I had to re-ask that question, and it was asked of me many times, do you believe that you are powerless? Do you believe that only a power greater than yourself could solve your problem? And that second step question was, my problem was not the fact that I did not know how to drink or that I even drank too much, because I didn't know when to stop. One was too much. My problem was that I didn't know how to live. And because I didn't know how to live, and I was 35 when I came in, at some point, one of two things were going to happen for me, and it talks about that crossroad and the third step. You know, either I'm going to, you know, it's either I'm going to face the fact that it's me and not others, or and accept spiritual help, which is early in the process, or, you know, I'm going to, as it talks about what, you know, and I'm going to blot out, you know, my existence. I was willing. I was already willing to do this. I had gone this far. There was no way that I could know what I know without already having a relationship with a power greater than myself, the walk in having that relationship. Now really start to see what that power can do that I was unable to do for myself, which is so palpable in my life, because later on in my life, many things started to happen because life gets really real. Where, and I'll share that, you know, as we move. Many things started to happen that I'm grateful that this process of the seventh step, humbly ask God, it says, humbly ask God to remove these shortcomings or character defects, which for me really are the same. You know, they just, these things that way in which I thought. The abuse that, you know, crimes against myself, but more importantly, in doing crimes against myself, I did crimes against other people because I was so uncomfortable in my skin. So, and the fears. And the defects were on this list. And now it was time to go into two things. One is to be willing, which is most important, to pray for the willingness. And to pray for the defect to be realized and possibly be removed, and believe that that's possible, and that I'm not the one that's actually going to do the removing. Because if I could do that, I would have done that a long time ago. I knew that. I knew that there was no way that I can combat my belief about what I wanted to be, because deep down inside, I really had an understanding of what I wanted to be. I mean, I had some virtues, I just didn't know how to get to them. The only way that I could get to them, the only way that I could become better, the only way that I could release, and then, you know, going into 8 and 9, release other people from the bondage of me and my sickness and my belief systems and the story that I created, and then the way in which, you know, I contradicted myself and lived in hypocrisy all the time, was to then take it out on you, you know, in various forms, you know. Was to become really willing. And then this humble piece, because it talks a lot of about humility in step 7. My sponsor asked me to write my own 7-step prayer. But we went over the 7-step prayer together. And the way it got broken down was, my creator, which means I didn't create myself. that blew me away when we said, okay, let's start. My creator, what does that mean to you? Does that mean you created yourself, or are you asking my creator, which means that I'm not the creator of me, that there must be something? I didn't create me. I can tell you that. Unless you created yourself, that, you know, you're a genius, but I know I didn't. So what does that mean to me? Well, my third step opened that up for me. I had a series of attributes of God, or this power greater than myself, that I was beginning to have an understanding of. Not even a belief yet, but an understanding. And I had those attributes that I was asked to create myself. It says that right in the third step, you know. You know, it's director, father, child, you know, those things. But I took it one step farther. Do whatever you want with those. But I took, you know, I took them for myself and what I believed that God, what God was to me, or the power was to me. Well, those I had to bring into my 7th step. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me. Good, bad, and ugly. The good and the bad. Well, it's interesting because as we went through this and as I started to take this practice into my day-to-day life, really just prayer of your own, but the understanding And the grasping of what it means was really important. It's one thing to read a prayer, the prayer in the book that I did in early recovery, and I didn't understand a word. It sounded wonderful. I wanted that. But I didn't understand a word it said. Of course I didn't, because I had never done any of the work that preceded to this place, that preceded to, you know, admission of powerlessness, you know, and then developing a potential belief that something greater than me could solve my problem, or what was my problem that I couldn't live. And then the destruction, the beginning of the first time I've ever begun to kind of whittle away and to be honest enough to take a look at what were the things that were keeping me sick. Because I was miserable. I was miserable. So, again, you know, that crossroad always comes up. It's, at any point in my life, even today, it still always comes up. Now that you have all of me, good and bad, later on in my life, at this point in my life, it's interesting because as a result of getting to know and finding out that, you know, I started to grow out of certain defects of character. But as soon as I started doing that, I noticed there was another layer of it, which was really, once we got past the first part of the sting, I noticed that as soon as I started to go into the seventh step, it became glaring. I don't know if any of you can relate, but as soon as that door opened, I would walk into defects that openly, happily, and not even know I was there. And because of the practice of this, I was able to become more sensitive and had more sight, more foresight, more imminent sight as to what was happening. Because I already was armed with some facts about myself. I also had continuous talks with my sponsor with respect to this list. And some of these things I added to it. Sometimes number 3 moved up to a number 2. Sometimes a 2 moved up to a number 1. I played it. And this is the way my sponsor and I did this, played it as an exercise. And then it became a spiritual practice. First it was an exercise because, you know, I'm demented in a lot of ways. I am. I need tangible stuff. Don't live in the clouds. Don't. And then it became a spiritual practice. It began to reveal itself. And what started to happen for me was I started to see that the good, the bad, and the ugly, I was no longer judging like I used to. As a matter of fact, as I stand here right now, I can tell you, and someone in here can attest to it and knows me pretty well, that whenever there's a problem in my life, or what seems to be a problem, because things aren't always seemingly what you think they are. They're always something else. I've learned that. I no longer use the labels of good, bad, or ugly. And that does not come from me. That comes from a shift and a willingness to be really vulnerable and naked, so to speak, and not need to veil at each pass. Sometimes I pull it back. I have fears that I know that still exist. It's a constant practice, 6 and 7, rest of my life. Constant. But I will share with you, the other thing about humility, it's interesting because I think years ago, I believed that humility was where I would talk to be sort of downtrodden or I even believed humility was a form of depression. I did. Oh no, it's okay, you know. And I've come to find out that is, I just never knew what it meant. Because I never lived it. I was never exposed to it. I saw it in family members, but I didn't know what it was. I couldn't understand it, and I would put them down for it. My mother was a very humble woman in a lot of ways. I used to put her down for being so kind to everybody. I used to say to her, those people are going to screw you. And even when they did, they don't know. My mother did not believe in Jesus Christ or any other God but herself. But I got to tell you, somewhere deep inside was the fundamental idea of God, because she would say, they do not know. Show them. I was exposed to this long before I was ever exposed to it. But coming from my mother, I didn't believe it. Because I was sick and suffering big time, and anything I could do to say the opposite of what you were saying, even though I didn't believe it, I didn't know what I believed. I started to experience my own belief about who I want to be, which I found out, and our book talks about it, that this is what God would have me be. This is very seven step stuff. This is what God would have me be. I never knew that the core of who I really am was God-centered and was already there. And all I had to do was literally, you know, regurgitate and get rid of, rather than, that's why it's an inside job, rather than go do something outside of myself, which is what this work is about for me. So, and at that point, you know, there's different relationships at work that have resulted in a different way of seeing and being for me. I no longer have to be right. As a matter of fact, it's not really cool to be right, I found out. Really not that cool. Because you have to be really careful because it has a trap door. I found out. It's not really important to be noticed. That also has a trap door. There's some balance in this stuff, and that's where the seventh step in my life has taken me. There's this balance. Jeremy Camp, who is a wonderful singer, doesn't matter if you didn't hear him, but my seventh step prayer is very different now than it was at the beginning. One of the things that I know for sure is that God will remove my difficulties as he sees fit. I believe that. I tested it for you. Because as soon as I start to think that I need to remove something, is when all hell breaks loose. And I will read something to you that encompasses the seventh, eighth, and ninth step. It's a letter to my son that will tell you that that's how I lived. So, it was funny, I lost my train of thought. But, so anyway, I'm going to share with you now in this eighth step process that what we did was I took people in my list in my fourth column. I mean, I'm sorry, in my resentment list. And I wrote them down. I made a list. And what we did was I needed to do that first. And then I needed to sit quietly, willing. And I needed to ask, is there anybody that's not on the list that I'm annoyed with? Or that I feel that I owe some kind of restitution or amends for something. Well, I'll tell you this. The IRS ended up on my list, however, right? But that's sort of an indirect thing. And there was no way that I could really, no matter what I did, I could never get right with the IRS. I'm telling you. I believed that because I'm a single mother and I raised a kid by myself my whole life and my ex-husband flew the coop, never gave me a dime, that the United States has a duty to take care of us even though I work. I don't ask for anything from them, and that's even more so why they should, that they should not be asking me for extra money. So I believe. I will tell you, on some level, I still don't understand. I don't. I really don't. But, when I was down and out at the same time, and I was raising this kid by myself, do you know who took care of us when I couldn't work? So I was so sick? Welfare. Welfare took care of us. It was pointed out to me. What I learned from that place is that there's always a balance somewhere. And that my belief systems are skewed based on my own self-interest at the moment, whatever that moment lends itself to be. This is why the seventh step taught me how to discern before acting. It forced me to take a step back. And when you take a step, you ever go on an airplane? Well, you were on the ground, we look so big, and then you go up in an airplane and everything is tiny. Well, that analogy for me is what that's about. Wherever I'm standing, I need to take a step back, ask for help, so I can have a new view of what this looks like, so I can be changed. I don't do the changing. Take away my difficulties, take away my shortcomings as you see fit. I have to tell you, I am not the bearer of the one who takes my difficulties away. Because if that's the case, I don't think I'd be standing here, because I'd fail miserably. This is something that is coming from a greater source, much greater source than I. I just became a willing participant. It's funny, when you become a willing participant, everything's possible. So this list, I make this list, I add these things onto it. I want to tell you, it's just so funny that we're here today, because last Friday, got a letter from the IRS, just a little bit. And on it, it said that I owed $241. I said, this is wrong. This can't be right. I was like, I owe much more than that. What are you talking about? Don't you people know what you're doing? What do you mean I owe $241? I'm like flipping out because I can't believe it's over. As of last week, Friday, for the past, God willing, June 29th, I'll have 15 years. For 15 years, I have been paying the IRS back all the money that I owed them. It's been coming out of my check from every place I've ever worked, from the state to the federal. I don't even want to tell you how much. And I've been doing it, and it's over. Over as of last Friday. That's huge for me. That's huge. So I make this list. The eighth step for me is really about now taking that step back also. Now, I said I'd willing to go to any lengths for victory over alcoholism. And so over the course of years, I've had to make direct, indirect amends. That was one of those that was sort of indirect. It is direct because it came out of my pocket, but very close to me, so it is kind of direct. But sort of one of those indirect where harm was done, but it's so much. I think I did some harm to a lot of people in this world based on not paying my taxes, because there was another person just like me who maybe didn't get what they needed because there just wasn't enough. I feel that. I'm not kidding. I feel that, because that could have been me too, and maybe it was. So I sat for a while, and there were some glaring ones that I had to make. Ninth step, right? Ninth step. Eighth step is just a list. It's nothing huge, nothing outrageous. Wasn't a big thing. I was already prepared. It was a matter of sitting back and allowing time, have the willingness. And the wherewithal, the willingness is great, but if you don't act, willingness all by itself doesn't always take an action. Sometimes it's just an awareness, and so I can be aware of a million things and do nothing. But I had to then become willing to take the action when it was brought to me or I was brought to it. And that's where this ninth step comes in. So if you'd let me share something with you, and this is not that long ago. My son and I have had our issues over the years, and I had made formal amends to him when he was younger. He was 13 or so when I came in. He just wanted me to be okay. My parents also, all they wanted me to be was okay. They were the first on the list. Then I had another woman, actually, who was my mother's best friend and a colleague, and I remember, and this is true, I remember going to her because I borrowed lots of money for drugs from her, and I lied to her, and I told her that I needed the money to take care of Ryan. And I used that scenario for my own self-interest, always. And then I bogged down in it when it didn't serve me. So I was constantly back and forth, you know. We went out to lunch, Angela and I, and I told her, and I had money with me, and I was ready to start paying her money, and I gave her $10, and I said, this is about what I could do, because it was early in sobriety. I was about 2.5 years sober. At that point, I'm already getting better, maybe 3 years, I should say. And she takes the money. She appreciates it, and, you know, she does this. It's okay. But I told her the truth. I told her exactly what I did. She knew. I was very surprised. I was like, she's so naive, but she knew. I was like, this is funny. Well, I would say it was about, so I started to pay her $10 $10 every 2 weeks, because that's how I got paid. And one day she called me, I think it was about a year and a half later, she called me up and she said, I'd like to have lunch with you. We went out to lunch. She gave me a card. In the card was the check for the exact amount that I gave her. And she said, I want you to buy yourself something nice. You know how hard that was to even consider taking it? I asked to remove myself from the lunch to go to the bathroom to call my sponsor. Because I really didn't think that that was okay. I thought there was going to, like, some retribution was going to come, like, undo my ninth step or something. I was very scared, you know? Oh. It was. I didn't always have a good time with this ninth step, and there are some ninth step amends, and the amends process was more about not apologizing. It was about when I went to her specifically, I told her that I no longer use drugs and alcohol, and I no longer need to steal from you, and I don't know how to repair the damage I did, but I'm willing to hear what you want me to do. I was willing to do that. It wasn't a matter of me trying to be okay with myself. I didn't feel good. Most of the amends I made didn't always make me feel good. I was shaking, I was scared, I was vibrating. I felt God left me, you know, I felt naked, you know. I felt like I was vibrating. I felt totally vulnerable. And that process humbled me that much more, which made me start to live in reality a little bit more. That the world is not such an ugly place, and that people are doing the best that they can with what they have. And most people that I've come in contact with who were around my life at that time that I went to amend to make amends were a lot healthier when I was sick than I could have ever been. That to me, because I thought everybody behaved like I did, so everybody was a schmuck, you know, and not. And meanwhile, a lot of these people that I had abused actually lived life according to 12-step principles without having to drink and drug to the point where they had to do 12 steps. They actually lived with character and love and kindness and compassion and didn't want to hurt other people and weren't always conflicted with their being and didn't feel like, you know, they had to drink to make themselves, you know, separate from everybody. So this and then I just want to share this because this is a real truth, and I think this says a lot. So it's a few years already. My son and I went through some difficulties, and it was time for me to make another ninth step amends to him, but it was very different because many years later. So I'm going to read it exactly word for word. Ryan, I wanted to ask you to consider forgiveness in your heart, as I have been seriously blinded from some truths about how I conduct myself and the choices I have made where you and Veronica are concerned. I have realized that I am doing to you what I personally do not like when it is displayed to me by another person. One can feel trapped, dependent, feeling like you want to run away from such a person. I get it. I suspect my love has smothered you, made you want to stay clear of me because it suggests that you were not able to care for yourself. Honestly, I know the issue really has nothing to do with you. It is created by me. However, you have been the receiver of the path or movements it takes on. The truth is, I understood intellectually what that may or may not look like, but intuitively, I just was unable to stop. That sixth step, didn't know how to stop. I had not yet fully or even began to internalize it. I suspect I was not ready and scared of the change of what I would become without an emotional tie or dependence upon your attention and connection to me. I had not been hearing what you needed from the relationship, which I have also encountered in the past 4 months as we have journeyed through silence and not engaging. This is when my son first got sick, almost dies, and we're not talking a couple of months later. I realize that you're not a child, and I am not to treat you as such. I will be honest, though, sometimes I am not aware of what that looks like. Therefore, I need assistance. I asked for assistance because I really didn't know. I have judged many things in order to steer you from things that I believe will make you unhappy in the long run. I do not have a crystal ball. I am not God or the greater universe. What I recognize is how I behaved where you were concerned is a fearful, I told the truth, fearful mother, woman who was afraid to face the fact that she cannot control the outcomes of her child's life. I have always been afraid of losing you, one of the biggest fears I have ever had, I had to face during this time. It has always been my greatest fear. This is my walk, not yours. Therefore, I'm willing to let you go and live your life the way you need to, and thus detach from what we were to who we may become. You are an adult man who can make all the necessary choices for your own life, whether you are good, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, including your relationships. I respect the love you and Veronica have. I am letting you know that I'm beginning to see more clearly and letting go of the story I created with respect to our relationship, because it's not useful, helpful, nor loving. I'm sorry that that type of behavior may have not served the growth of our relationship in the past. Therefore, if you prefer that we continue to not connect, I was willing to do whatever I had to do to let go. I will have to respect and understand. I absolutely prefer that not be the case. I hope to develop a new relationship with you. All my love, Mom. That was the most recent ninth step I did with my son. He wrote back, and he called, but it was many months later. It was torturous. So rewarding to find out about myself. That was the gift. Whatever happened with him, the choices he makes was one thing, or the people we make amends. But finding out about myself and being willing to say it out loud to another person whom I say I love, and to act according to love for what it real, or getting to know what that really looks like, is more powerful. And the process of that has made me a better person, a better mother, a better employee, a better sponsor, most importantly, a better alignment with God, which honestly, you know, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. And there was a time when I would. So that's all I have to share.